Warning, content may cause spontaneous combustion. We are bringing the fire with 3 sizzling episodes a week. Spice up your routine with Fantasy Tuesdays. Get cozy with bedtime stories on Wednesdays. And let Ashlyn unleash your wild side on Thursday. Subscribe now to get alerts when new episodes drop, because things are about to get wicked.
Warning, this show may be highly arousing and distracting. Listener discretion advised.
Turn the lights low, slip beneath the covers, and escape with me into the world of forbidden desires. I'm Mistress Wicked Ashlyn, and I'll be telling you a story designed to ignite your passions. Let my voice be your guide on a journey of pleasure, where fantasy becomes reality, at least for tonight. Want to get to know the woman behind the mic? Visit wickedashlyn.com, connect, play games, maybe even spoil me a little. Tonight's story is called Teen Bondage, My Neighbor's Daughter, Part 1. Let's just say my name is Ron. Would you believe me if I said this story is true? No, you probably wouldn't, but I'm going to say it anyways. This story is true. It happened 3 years ago while I was living in the suburbs of Portland, Oregon. I've moved to Canada since then, not because my cop neighbor found out, and he did find out, but for business reasons I won't get into. I rented a 3-bedroom bungalow in a well-to-do area of Portland's best neighborhood. After divorcing my wife of 5 years, I felt it was time for a change of scenery. Besides, the Minnesota winters weren't doing it for me. It felt good to be single again. I had time to do things, turn the garage of my new home into a weight room. On hot days, I opened the garage door and let the breeze roll off the river to cool my sweat while powering through my workouts. By the time July rolled around, 6 months into my stay, I was in better shape than my varsity track team days. I mean, completely jacked. Women took notice. A couple of blonde and busty housewives gave me double glances as I jaw past them with my newly chiseled physique. The male girl, a bookworm type with shapely toned legs, glossy from the hours of walking door to door, interrupted me one shiny afternoon as I did my shoulder presses, asking me what my diet was like and how I got in such good shape so fast. That's never happened. I love the attention, but also enjoy being on my own, so I bask in the compliments but ultimately ignored any open invitations to date. For the first time in my life, I was complete without anyone else. Until I saw Jennifer. My next-door neighbor had mentioned in passing he had a daughter. She stayed with her mother in San Francisco during the school year and moved in with him for the summer months. I didn't think much of it until she pulled up to the curb in her yellow Jeep, her stereo thumping to some repetitive electronica beat. My neighbor was a state police lieutenant and a nice enough guy. With us both being newly divorced and single, we spent a lot of time pounding back beers or watching Showtime with his state-of-the-art HD projector. It felt wrong to even glance at Jennifer. Plus, she was barely 18. I had a rule. If you don't remember when Kurt Cobain died, you're far too young for me. I saw her Jeep come and go, but never got a good look at her until she came over to greet me one evening while I worked out. It caught me completely off guard. She wore ultra short denim shorts that were barely visible in her long but tight American Eagle V-neck. She hugged a paper bag stuffed with grocery over her left breast and hugged the bag tightly with slender bronze-colored arms. Her straight, dirty blonde hair fell way past her shoulders. I could see a yellow plunge bra peek its way out of the bottom of her A&E shirt. Her breasts looked medium size, perky and firm. To put it, I was floored.
"Hi, Mr. B,"
she said. The way she hugged the paper bag in front of her suggested she felt shy, but managed the courage to talk to me anyway. "Oh, hi," I responded. "What's your name?" I try to keep it business casual, not cold, but aloof and indifferent. This wasn't a play hard to get ploy. I didn't want any of the trouble she might have brought with her from Venice Beach. I could almost smell the sand in her hair, the saltiness of the Pacific on her skin. "Please, someone, Get me the fuck out of here. She ran her moist tongue over her top lips as she approached the opening of the garage door. I began to feel self-conscious of the sweat and metal scent that seemed to permeate the garage space. She either didn't notice or didn't care.
I'm Jennifer, Kenneth's daughter.
Pleased to meet you, Jennifer. I dried my hand with a workout towel and offered it to her.
I'm making pasta and salad tonight for dinner for me and my dad. I've got extra.
Fight it, you sleazy old man. Don't give in. But if I did, if I stayed home that night, this wouldn't be much of a story, would it? After showering, I thought better to put on aftershave. At least Kenneth becomes suspicious that I was trying for her. Trying for her? Why was I even thinking that way? Me? A middle-aged man trying to get with my friend's pre-college kid? She wasn't even old enough to rent a car. Too young to remember 9/11, for Christ's sake. She set the dinner table with care as Ken and I flipped through a magazine. He wanted a recommendation on a sturdy, adjustable bench press, but I was only half paying attention. Jen was sexier than ever. Her hair was tied back in a high ponytail that bounced as she rushed around the kitchen for utensils and plates. She was barefoot with a tight halter top that revealed her slender shoulders. Her ass looked perfect, round and perky in a tight pair of skinny jeans. If I had a daughter, I'll never let her prance around the house wearing something like that. Especially if my guests were as horny and single as me.
Come and eat, boy.
She giggled.
Giggled? She's just asking for it.
The pasta smelled amazing but tasted awful. They didn't seem to notice, but the sauce was overcooked. It had a burnt aftertaste that made it hard to pretend I liked it. I told her everything was delicious and tried to fill up on butter rose and Greek salad instead. She seemed proud of her work, so I couldn't begin to let on how I really felt about it. A distorted voice interrupted our meal. It sounded like it came from a walkie-talkie. Shit, Kenneth said through a mouthful of penne. He wiped the red sauce from his mouth and darted for the kitchen counter. There was a police scanner on it, and Kenneth picked up the mic. I'll be right there, he said, and snapped the mic back onto the latch. I began to get up. No, take your time and finish up. I'll be gone the rest of the evening. It seems we've got another grow-up to bus. Besides, I want you to finish thumbing through the catalog for me. Ken rushed to the bedroom and came back dangling a holster with a 9mm. Within a few minutes, he waved goodbye and rushed out the door.
Wait, Dad.
Jennifer grabbed something shiny on the counter and rushed out the front door after him. She came back a minute later, still holding something silver in her hand.
His handcuffs. He never forgets them.
Jennifer said as she played with them, making them click as she pressed on the cuff rings. She looked down at the carpet as she made her way back to the kitchen. Both of us felt self-conscious about being alone together. Call it sexual attention. Call it inappropriate thoughts that should stay only thoughts. At least until she was much older.
Would you like more?
She asked. Sure, it's delicious.
Pathetic.
I helped her clear the table and scrub pots. Even through the smell of dish soap, I caught the fruity scent of Jennifer's freshly shampooed hair, combined with the vanilla moisturizer she used to keep her arms and neck smooth and glossy. At least that's what I thought it was. I grew hard with the thought of reaching out and grazing my hand across her warm neck. I have to go, Jen, I said, fumbling for my jacket.
Really?
She asked, with more than a hint of disappointment. She grabbed the cuffs and ran her index finger across the silver edge, stroking it lightly with her soft, manicured hands. She glanced at me, then back down at the cuffs. I was ready to ignite. Yeah, I've, got to record my shows. I slammed Kenna's front door behind me hard enough to hear the decor on the mantel rattle from inside. I breathed a sigh of relief. The evening air cut into the tenseness of the moment, and I sipped the smell of freshly cut lawns and dew. There was no way I was ready to put myself in that position again. I felt like an overcrowded elevator ready to burst. I refocused my efforts on my workouts and increased my weekly runs from 2 to 5. I turned my already lean body into granite muscle. I was getting too ripped, too serious about working out and eating right. The compliments from women stopped. How's the new equipment working out for you? I asked Kenneth as we both just happened to bring our garbage to the curb at the same time. It was another gorgeous night in Portland and I was beaming. The work week was finished, my workout done, and a fresh Michael Bay DVD sat on my coffee table, ready to be unsealed. Life was good. It didn't seem so good to Kenneth. What's wrong, Ken? I asked him. His eyes darted nervously. I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but I trust you to keep a close lid on things, he told me, his forehead creased with worry lines. Sure, I added. I'm going in for a graveyard shift tonight, and I have to tell my boss something that's long overdue. Oh, what's that? Well, he hesitated, then slammed his garbage to the curb and looked at me, shaking his head. I lost my handcuffs. I choked on my own spit. I balled my fists and coughed into it a few times. My reaction troubled Kenneth even more. I know, he told me. I'm supposed to be a cop. Responsible. Focus. I haven't had the lieutenant job for all that long. What if they throw me back on the beat? I have to tell my ex we need to cut back on Jen's college fund. Man, she'll flip. I felt terrible for Kenneth, but as bad as I felt, the lust for Jennifer was even greater. As Kenneth spilled his heart out to me that night in the driveway, his sweet little college-bound girl wearing a cut-off tank top and boy-cut panties smiled at me in the living room window. She dangled the handcuffs, stroking them like it was a nice, warm, that's it, she's going to get it. At 11 o'clock, Kenneth's police cruiser pulled out of the driveway and headed north towards the precinct. All that separated me from his hot and ready daughter was a few yards of green grass and a furnished oak door. It was about 11:30 p.m. by the time I made my way around back, creeping along the fence on the opposite side of Kenneth's house, the ideal being to have a lookout for my nosy neighbors. What would someone think if Jen answered the door for me and let me in just after her father left for work? It wouldn't be good. All the garage doors on the street were closed except for Mr. Dawson, who always forgets to close it at night. The interior lights in his house were out, and the garage looked dark and empty. The neighborhood was quiet except for the sounds of crickets, the tat, tat, tat of a sprinkler and the deep gulps of my hurried breath. I knocked on the oak door and it echoed through the quiet neighborhood loudly. I turned to expect a neighbor's porch light to switch on, but nothing happened. I waited, rubbing my thumb against my calloused index finger like I always did when nervous. How long had I been standing there? 30 seconds? A minute? I could see the glow from the hall light through the living room window, but Kenneth always kept it on whether anyone was home or not. A cop thing. My breathing slowed. She had gone out with her friends, no doubt. I had missed her between the conversation with Ken and the walk back. It was a Friday night after all. Not many 18-year-olds stayed in on a weekend night as gorgeous as this. I backed away from the porch, but suddenly the deadbolt clicked and the door opened, bathing me in the glow of light. Jennifer was wearing a tight wife beater without a bra and a pair of blue Dr. Seuss panties that read, "The Cat in the Hat." Whatever reservations she had were gone. She knew how hot she was and how much I desired her. There was no turning back.
Mr. B, you're not even a step in the door and I see you're already ready.
She put a hand to her mouth and muffled a laugh. I looked down to see the crotch of my jeans poking out at a strange angle. I felt my ears grow warm, but I never had much of a problem laughing at my own expense. The whole situation was funny and ridiculous and cliche.
Come on in. I have a few drinks ready for us.
We headed down to the basement where Kenneth kept his entertainment unit. He built a bar that summer and installed overhead track lights that gave the room a romantic ambience. It still smelled like freshly cut wood. Two drinks rested on the bar's nook. We sat in the high chairs and faced each other. Whiskey? You're not old enough to buy this stuff, I asked somewhat seriously.
My dad marks the bottles, but I figured if I only took a couple of drinks from each one, he wouldn't notice I watered them down.
Judging by her dad's generous collection, she'll be able to go the whole summer taking bits from every bottle, unless she was dumb enough to water down the bottles that had little booze in them already. Ken would never suspect a thing. We pounded back the first shot, took it like a seasoned vet, and switched the rye for a bottle of flavored vodka. Remember which ones you took from, I told her, sounding more alarmed than I wanted to. Didn't want to leave a trace behind. Before I could grab the bottle and begin pouring, Jennifer had already reached out and grabbed the crotch of my jeans, rubbing my hard on that was still protruding from underneath my jeans. She rubbed it with the tip of her fingers, stroking the hand and smiling as she looked at it.
I can't wait to see what it looks like,
she said to me softly and bit her lower lip. I kissed her so hard, she pressed her hand against my chest to resist the pressure. I felt her sweet, tasting tongue enter my mouth greedily. She sighed a little, a sign she was already ready too. I grabbed her wife beater, meaning to slip it off, but it tore at the neckline. She didn't seem to mind. Some women's breasts were a disappointment after the bra that held them in place was taken away. Not Jen's. They were perky with small eraser-tipped nipples that were just the right light pink color. Her breasts looked larger than her cup size given her tiny waistline and slender neck. I cupped the right breast hard, feeling her nipple grow stiff in my palm. I leaned in and ran my lips along the nape of her neck. She cooed and arched upward, opening herself up to let me do whatever I felt like.
Ow!
She yelped unconvincingly. Sorry. Sometimes I bite hard.
It's okay. I like that.
I stood her up, knelt down, and placed my hand on the Cat in the Hat. She was soaked. I rubbed Jen's clit through her panties slowly as she ran her fingers through my hair. The more I rub, the more her body arched and the heavier she breathed. When her knees began to buckle, I stopped what I was doing and guided her to the leather sofa. She had been close to coming, but I didn't want to explain to Kenneth how his girl managed to crack her head open on the concrete floor while his horny neighbor hung out. I sat her down on the couch and knelt down again. This time I removed her panties and ran my arms up her legs, teasing her. The wetness steamed down her smooth thighs. I ran my tongue along it and lapped it up like a thirsty animal. I could feel the heat radiating from her tightly packed pussy. The way she thrusted her hips as I approached it let on that she couldn't take the teasing anymore, so I dived in. She gaps and grabbed fistfuls of my hair and pulled tightly, forcing my tongue deeper into her pussy. I tongue-fucked her, picking up the pace just a bit, then ran my tongue along the ridge of her pussy lips. She whimpered as I ran it gently across her clit, firm enough that she could feel it, but not so strong that it would short-circuit the ecstasy she was feeling. She opened her legs, and I pushed on her thighs, making her stretch painfully wide. I caught a glimpse of her eyes fluttering, and I knew that was a good sign. I licked my finger and slowly placed it in her. It began to be too much, and she began pushing at my chest again.
No, I can't. I'm too sensitive,
she pleaded, but I kept at it, running my tongue up and down, savoring the smell and taste of her aroma. Her legs began to tremble, and I knew she was close, her hands looking for something to embrace, finally grabbing the collar of my shirt.
Oh God, you're going to make me come.
She let out a scream that muffled with cupped hands. I could feel her pussy swell as pulse after pulse of sexual nirvana vibrated through her body in waves. She rested her hands on the sofa cushion and smiled with her eyes closed, looking completely content and relaxed.
Show it to me, she pleaded,
keeping her eyes closed and basking in the afterglow. I threw off my jeans in a hurry and removed my red boxer briefs. As soon as she heard the sound of my briefs hitting the couch, she knelt down in front of me, her eyes widened at the size and shape of my rock-hard dick.
Mr. B, I've never been with someone your size before. It's exactly how I was hoping it would look.
Even when I was out of shape at Wayne State, women complimented me on my dick. To be honest, I was an inch shy of being a porn star, but the aesthetics made up for it. The purplish crown was always plump and protruding perfectly from the shaft. I found women couldn't get enough of twirling their tongue around the tip, the ridge, back to the tip, burling their tongue to no end. Jen clasped a hand around the base of my shaft and examined it further. She began to stroke it as she did. A pre-cum bubble formed at the head and she licked it off with the pointed tip of her tongue. She got in my dick into her warm, wet mouth, and she moaned with approval. She ran her lips down my dick as far as it would go, and she looked into my eyes as she took me in completely. I felt myself growing even larger and harder inside her mouth. It almost hurt. I wasn't sure how long I was going to last. She greedily ran her mouth over me, savoring every inch of my cut cock. Just before it came to the point of no return, she stopped and wiped her mouth, smiling as she did.
"I don't want the party to end too early," she said.
I turned her around so she faced the couch. Her arms draped over the cushions and she stuck her perfectly plump butt out for me to enter her. I was just about to slip inside her when she grabbed my wrist.
"Not yet,"
she said, not sounding too sure she wanted to delay it. "Is something wrong?" I asked. She pointed to the entertainment unit and my eyes widened. There they were, in its police issue handcuffs. I wasted no time grabbing them. She held her arms behind her back submissively, and I clamped the cuffs on her wrist tightly. I grabbed her, stirred her up, and then draped her upper body face down over the armrests. I could do anything I wanted to the girl. She was mine. I spread her ass cheek open to reveal her pink asshole. I tongue around the rim and poked my tongue in and out as she squirmed with pleasure. With a well-lubricated finger, I slowly slipped inside her ass, arousing the goosebumps on her butt and thighs.
"Please, please give it to me," she begged. "I need you inside of me."
I removed my shirt and guided my pulsing cock to the lips of her pussy. She held her head up in anticipation. I pushed myself inside of her and I almost passed out from the warmth and tightness of being inside. There was no way I was going to make it out of first inning. "Ugh," she moaned. I began small movements at first, allowing her to adjust to my size. She sighed with every thrust of my hard dick, and I pushed my hips against her ass, growing deeper and harder with each passing moment. She pushed against my hips with two cuff hands.
"It's too much,"
she blurted out as she panted. It was far too late to back off now. My heart raced and I felt a tingling sensation in my balls like warm static. She must have felt the pressure building because she allowed herself to be used completely. "Jen, I'm going to come," I warned her.
"Please, come inside me," she cried,
desperate and pleading. "I can't."
"Please, just do it. I want to know what it feels like."
Her demand turned me on even more and I felt my whole body tighten. I felt a rush to my head and my shaft squeezed painfully tight. I held it as long as possible, unsure I wanted to give my seat away. "I'm coming," I told her, and my dick pulsed hot cum inside of her. Groaned loudly with each pulse, accepting my seat, she came too. I didn't waste time slipping into my clothes again. Jennifer laid on the couch looking like the happiest drunk in the world, legs spread to reveal white cum dripping down her legs. "Where are the keys?" I asked her as I smiled at my handiwork. My smile faded quickly. Her eyes widened and her jaw dropped, looking at me dumbfounded. "You do know where the keys are, don't you?" She shook her head. Her eyes darted the same way Kenneth did when he was trying to figure something out.
"How could I be so stupid?"
she said, more to herself than to me. "Don't tell me your dad has them," I dared ask. She didn't have time to answer. We heard the front door deadbolt turn with a hard click. I hope you enjoy that story. I sure did. My panties are soaking wet right now. Check back next week for part two as we continue the adventures with Ron and Jennifer. Does Kenneth catch them? You will have to wait to find out.